So then we pull over where there's nothing but forest, and then she's like, oh, Floor, like, look. And I look up, and this man, like, comes out of nowhere, out of the bushes, and he starts walking towards us. We're like, oh, fuck, you know? And then he's, like, in front of my car, so I'm trying to go left around him, go right, and he's, like, standing right in front of my car, like, not letting me get around him. And then I see him, like, start coming over, like, try to come to my door, so I reverse, but I'm so scared, so I slam it closed. And we're, like, pretty high up, so there's a cliff right there. So, like, I, you know, floor it going backwards, can't even see, it's dark. and then there was, like, a hill, like, a mound of whatever, dirt and grass, I don't know, which my car got stuck on. And, like, if it hadn't gotten stuck, you know, we would have died. Like, we would have flown off the cliff and died.
Hello and welcome back to The Common Room, arguably the number one podcast in Leeuwarden. We're back in the studio for yet another monthly episode. So we've kept our promise and we brought in the first guest ever for The Common Room podcast, who is Floor. Say hi, Floor.
Hi. Happy to be here. Thanks, guys.
No worries. I just want to say that, like, to introduce you, I think that you're one of the best storytellers I've ever met. And that's particularly because whenever we get drunk, we like to tell each other stories.
Oh, yeah.
And there are very good memories of mine.
Aw.
So that's why I thought you were a good person to bring on the podcast.
Thanks. Big compliment. I love telling stories. So that's good.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the importance of spontaneity. And that's because it was a bit of a change of plans, basically. It's because we had something else planned, but then something very spontaneous happened. Basically, our social media blew up because Tim and I got up to some shady business that we're going to tell Floor and the other two co-hosts, Finn and Luca, about right now, because they haven't heard it yet. So they're going to find out the story live right now. Are you excited, guys?
Yeah, we are, because, well, I forgot about it. I have to say that I forgot about it, but now that you reminded me of it, I'm excited to see how our Instagram page grew so much in so little time.
Yeah. So basically it was like 73 followers to 242 or something.
Yes. In the span of, I don't know, 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah. How does that happen? Well, basically Tim and I went to like a local event in Friesland for podcasting and we did a lot of networking. No.
I would have been surprised.
That is not what happened at all. Okay, Tim.
Okay, so picture this, guys. It was a lovely evening. I think it might have been a Sunday. Yes, it was a lovely Sunday evening. We were just chilling in our beautiful living room in our house, in the armchairs. And then Vasco turned to me and he was like, Tim, you're in charge of the Instagram of our podcast and you're doing a great job, but I have some ideas on how to get more followers. Hashtags. We need to add some hashtags because we have no hashtags on the post, and that's how people discover your profile, through general hashtags like podcast or entertainment, fun, or Spotify, whatever. So then I was like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. It's not a lot of effort, very simple, very effective. So then we looked at the best hashtags to use with a podcast account, and then we added them to the descriptions, and then we got maybe like literally minutes after we did that, changed the descriptions, added the podcast, we got a few follows from some interestingly looking accounts. Yes, from some shady accounts. And then we started receiving comments on some of the posts saying like, oh, contact this account because they give shout outs to podcasts. And then we were like, oh, okay. And we checked out the account, but it was also some shady account. And like the person commented the same comment on like several of our posts. So we were like, okay, this is some bot. They're just trying to scam us. But then we got a text from the guy first started following us. And then he also wrote to us. And he told us that he could promote our account. and we're like, okay, this is some another scammer, like, but let's be spontaneous, right? Let's have a bit of fun. So we were first messing around a little bit and asking if 1 million Zimbabwean dollars is enough for the promotion, and then we were just texting a bit more, and then we asked him if he could promote us, and then we would see if we like his services, and then we would decide on what to do, whether to get get his offer or not. So then he said, yeah, okay, deal, I'll give you 100 followers. And we're like, okay, deal. And then we waited, and then maybe half an hour later, I just started checking my phone, and it's just exploding with notifications. And it's like every second, 3 notifications, like, oh, this and this account started following the common room. And it was just popping up all the time for like 5 minutes straight, every second, every a new follow. And we're like, holy shit, bro, what the hell? We're blowing out. The guy is actually like, what a guy, what a legend, right? So then we started thanking him. And this is also our way of giving him a big shout out, because then we were texting with him a bit more, and he's a really cool guy, and what a legend, he delivered on this promise, on his promise. So I am Piaz Das, this is a shout out to you.
Shut up, Piaz Das. We love
as
you, bro.
We promised, because you made our evening so much. Thanks to you, our followership increased, let's say 3 times approximately. So thanks a lot, man.
Indeed.
But who are these people that followed? Is it like, do we have now a bot army?
Yeah, I think we need to give a little bit more context. So this was the short run of the story. But basically, once you go onto these trending hashtags, there are people who have bots looking out for posts. And then the bots comment on your posts. And then they do like advertising towards these big shout out accounts. So there are accounts, some accounts are like bots. So like an account gets to 1 million followers or something, and then someone buys it, and then the business that they do is Instagram shoutouts. So basically they use all of their followers, and then you message them. Like Tim and I, we messaged a few of them. That's why Piaz Das stuck out so much, because we messaged a shit ton of them, and most of them were just like, oh, yeah, we'll give you a shout out, but you need to pay us. Like they sent us literally price lists with 1,000 Spotify followers, 1,000 Instagram followers, what you know, fuck? Like all bots. And we were like, well, we're not going to pay, dude, especially for bots. Like if we want to grow our audience, we want to have people who actually interact with our content. We don't want to just say, oh, we have 1,000 followers, but like most of them have 2 followers and they're like no ones, right? So then we were talking to this guy, Piaz Das, and he was sort of like interacting with us in a non-robotic way, which is what every other big shout out account was doing. So we actually had some banter between us. He said his English wasn't very good, but it was perfectly able to communicate with him. So we had like a very, you know, spontaneous and organic conversation with him. And then he offered us a free trial of his services, because he's also a shout out account. And then we agreed to it, and we said yes, then silence. Just silence from the guy, nothing happened. And at one point, Tim and I were already like going onto other accounts. We basically gave up. And all of a sudden, his phone just starts blowing up, buzzing every second with new followers. And that's how we actually even received like 2 bursts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we received 100 followers one time and like 80 or 60 another time. And that's how we got to 140 now. And yeah. We're mostly like a podcast catering to India at the moment. Most of our followers are not from Leeuwarden. That's for sure.
Yeah. So we're now arguably the best podcast in India.
Yes. And Leeuwarden at the same time.
We're growing. I just noticed I don't understand social media.
And we also, when we were texting one of those huge accounts that didn't turn out to be great, they were like, just like Vasco said, telling us how they can promote us for how much money, but well, we don't have money for promotion of our podcast, so we were just messing a bit, saying like, oh, can we pay by credit card? They were like, yeah, sure. Oh, great, we don't have one though. Can we pay by PayPal? They were like, oh yeah, awesome. Oh, fuzzy nazi, we ran out of money this week, you know, inflation. can you give us money? And they were like, of course not. And we were like, oh, so sad. And they were like, yeah, you know, we take payment in return for promotion. And we were like, but how about we promote you and then you promote us? And they were like, okay, we promote you. And we were like, oh shit, thank you so much. And then they blocked us.
Yeah, we tried to message him half an hour later and we were just blocked.
Yeah.
That just goes to contrast with Piazda's response to us. So he's even more of a legend now.
Mm-hmm. What a guy.
Shout out. Big up Piazda. Okay, well, that was the sort of introduction. Let's talk about our other spontaneous experiences. What is the most like spontaneous thing you've ever done, Floor?
Okay, so when I graduated high school, I like had a really depressed and rough year, and I came to the Netherlands for like a month, then went home, and like lived by myself for that year. And my family came over for like Christmas break. So then when I after you know when they all left, I was dropped them off at the airport, and then driving home, I was like, I'm like in a really shit place, but I have a solution that's gonna fix us all. Like, I need a cat. So I just stopped at the like Humane Society, the shelter, like right on my way home. Went in there, looked at the kittens. There's only one in there also. And I sit down and she just comes and curls up in my lap. So I'm like, this is definitely the solution, you know, perfect. So I just got her that day, right then, took her home. Then I named her Ceiling because like my name's Floor. And her name is Ceiling. It was actually like my friend told me to name her that, but perfect. And some little highlights from her, like she was so cute. And I have so many little pictures, so I'll show you guys all after. But she was really, really sweet to me. She would always curl up with me and sleep with me and whatever. And then anytime my friends would come over, she would like terrorize the living hell out of them. She'd lay under the couch and wait till they like put their feet down or start walking and grab them and scratch them. And so she's kind of an asshole to them.
Damn.
And her nickname was Shit Stain because she would just leave like skid marks, like shit stains over whatever on my pillow, on the couch. And one time she fell off my balcony, and I lived like on the fourth floor in this apartment building, and she just, I don't even know what she did. I left, and when I came home, she wasn't in my apartment, but I'm like, you know, where could she have gone? So I went down, because there's kind of like a walkway, I guess, where my balcony is, like on the ground. So I walked down, I couldn't find her, just went to bed that night, and then next day I went like digging in the dirt under my building trying to find her. And I called out to her, I'm like, Ceiling, Ceiling, meow, meow, you know. And she just came right over to me, finally. Picked her up, took her home. Then she never fell out again. So
damn.
Was she hurt?
No, like, I don't know how that happened.
She just walked off.
She just, like...
How did she walk that off, dude?
Well, cats are famous for having 7 lives.
Well, she has 6 now, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was 9.
True. Should be
9. I mean, I think there's a certain irony, though, in the fact that a cat named Ceiling falls down the balcony.
The floor.
Onto the floor, yeah.
Yeah, she was trying to find me. You, oh, yeah. Oh, poor baby.
Oh, no. Well, since she's called Shit Stain, you talked about her. She seemed like kind of a pain in the ass. Maybe not to you, but to your friends. Do you think it was a good spontaneous decision to get the cat?
Yeah, I think so. Like, it's good. You know, whenever people come over, she would be sweet to them sometimes, mostly just for me also, like, because I was alone a lot, so it was nice to have a companion. She would just curl up with me while I'm reading or whatever I'm doing. Like, I mean, she was very loving to me, and that's what I needed then, so she was good for me.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
It reminds me, actually, of this dog that my grandma used to have, and it was like one of those, like, really small dogs. I don't know the exact breed. But it was so freaking annoying. And my mom always tells me about it because apparently the dog hated everyone in the house apart from my grandma, specifically my grandpa, because my grandpa kept stealing her away. So whenever he would see my grandpa, like the dog would just start barking and stuff. And specifically whenever he would see my grandpa like naked coming out of the shower or something, he would jump at it. And just start like scratching my grandpa, trying to kill him or something. And my grandpa like fucking hated the dog. Like it was the bane of his existence. And then eventually the dog died and he didn't, probably didn't even go to the funeral, probably threw a party.
Do dogs have, like, do they organize funerals?
No, I wasn't being serious. If there was a funeral, I don't think you would have showed up.
Okay, sounds fair. Like, if it would scratch me out of the shower, yeah, I wouldn't be happy as well, I guess.
Well, you also have a lot of interaction now with pets, so look, how's it going with Fino's cats? We're living
well,
in the house.
Well, they're scared of me, I don't understand why. And well, now I'm gonna take care of them for a few days because in the house I'm alone now.
Oh yeah, because they're in Hamburg now, right?
Yeah, and yeah, but jumping to my spontaneous story, I wanted to have one that like all of us could relate to. So for example, the trip that we did in Luxembourg last year, guys, I think that was...
I think Finn can definitely relate.
Yeah, no, I remember this.
You're in the pictures, bro.
Yeah, I'm in the pictures.
He was definitely there.
Get that joke, Floor.
Oh, got it.
We went on a trip with the three of us,
mm-hmm.
and Finn didn't go.
Aww.
But we say it's like our podcast trip.
Oh.
But then, so we just edited Finn into the photos.
Aww.
We photoshopped him in, and yeah.
I so remember it vividly.
It was great to have you there, man.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I really did.
Yeah, we liked it. When we thought about the idea, it was actually really fun. But,
Make it feel worse. Yeah.
The spontaneous part of it is just like, I remember I see like this message saying, oh yeah, this day, like the 20th of June, we're going to have a party in Luxembourg. And I was like, well, I have to go. There are all my high school friends. And just by chance, Tim and Vasco were in my room, so I was like, yeah, guys, you should come as well. And then, you know, I just kept talking about it, and one day we ended up buying the Flixbus ticket to go. And, I mean, it was a spontaneous thing, but in the end was pretty well organized, and while we were there, we had, like, stuff to do, and, well, the outcome was super positive. Like, also my mom, she was like the MVP of the, holiday when she cooked pizza for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was great and the outcome was super nice. And another brief story that it's not related to this, but this was probably one of the craziest things I've ever done, was basically one time I was supposed to like, I used to go to this fancy, like hiking place, you know, and, I was going with like a friend of my parents and he was like an expert of like hiking and stuff. And we were planning to do like a normal hiking day, you know, nothing special. So my dress code was all right, but it wasn't like really fitted to go like above 3000 meters. Okay. Like it wasn't a good idea. So I had like shorts and like the shoes were good, but they weren't great. I didn't have any sort of helmet, anything. And by the way, we were going up. I was like both... Hi, and like my parents' friend, we weren't like that tired, so at some point he just tells me, oh, why don't we do like this specific type of top of the mountain, like I think it's gonna be cool. And then I asked him, oh, how tall is it gonna be? And he was like, oh yeah, nothing big, like 3500 meters, we're just gonna pass by some glaciers. And I was like, well, I don't know, it sounds fun. If you're telling me that we can go with like this outfit, it's okay for me. And it was like, yeah, for sure, just follow me, it's gonna be okay. So basically we just do this like hiking crazy, like it took us 3.5 hours, walked through like glaciers and also like places where there was like still snow, like the night before it snowed there. So I was like, and then when we reached like the actual place, I was amazed by the view and blah, blah, blah. But then there were like, I don't know, maybe only 5 people on the top of the mountain. And all of them were dressed like with helmets, fucking crazy mountaineering clothes and stuff. And then I looked at myself and I was like, shorts, a stupid t-shirt of Torino. And that was everything that I was wearing. And I was like, well, it sounds great that I'm here, but maybe it wasn't really appropriate. And... I don't know, I remember that I was so tired that I ate like an entire chocolate bar, and but it was one of the best experiences of my life, guys. I never seen such a clear sky, and you know, I was walking for 3 hours and they saw like 5 people in total, you know, so I wasn't really fitting with the environment, but the experience that I had, it was great. And one thing that I remember is that when you're up in the mountains and there is fucking snow, if you don't have your sunglasses, you're dead.
Mm.
Like, because like the, you know, the light just like rebounds. Yeah, yeah, reflected on the snow. And I remember that I was completely red. And the best thing though was like, I was staying in this hotel and from the hotel I could see like the top of the mountain. And it seems so far-fetched, you know, such a crazy thing to do. And seeing it like the same day, you know, when I went back, I was like in this swimming pool that was warmed outside and I could see the mountain top. And I was like, oh, that's so great. You know, I achieved such a good thing. And out of nowhere, you know, wasn't planned or anything. And it was super nice. And I will never forget like the view and the satisfaction that it gives you, you know, like walking through the glaciers, you know, struggling. Didn't have the proper shoes and stuff, and then I managed it. It was awesome, even though, I mean, it was a little bit dangerous, but fuck it, I would do it again.
I do think, though, like hearing this as well, there's always like this certain joy then to be derived from doing things spontaneous, because I'm sure this was, like the people you saw up there in their jackets and so on, I'm sure they enjoyed it immensely as well, but I imagine you were more satisfied in the end because you just did it instead of planning something. Like, personally, it's nothing as big as spontaneously climbing a mountain. But I've had maybe, like, situations, one time where my friend and I, we just sort of met, and we're like, well, what do we want to do? And there was always this one spot we hung out, and we were just sort of sitting there waiting, talking. And then we were like, oh, yeah, you know how we once went, like, with our families together on, like, a canoe trip, like, kayaking? Yeah, that was fun. We should definitely do that with some friends at some point. Some silence for a second, and then we were like, we don't know what to do right now. Let's just call the nearest, you know, canoe station or whatever you call them and ask whether we can get a canoe and do a little river trip. So we called and they were also like, yeah, hello. We were like, yeah, can we get a canoe? And they were like, yeah, sure. When do you want to plan your trip? And we were just, now. It was like, I guess I can be there in half an hour. And we were like, yeah, we also need half hour driving there. So then we just showed up. And it was such a nice thing. Like, I've done many canoe trips before in my life, and I've always enjoyed them. But this one was by far the most enjoyable, simply because I didn't plan it. I didn't have some sort of... It was just, like you said, you know, you're just in your normal clothes. When you were hanging out, you didn't have, like, something with you, not like a straw hat to protect from the sun or whatnot. You weren't prepared. You didn't take lunch. You just sort of went and did it, and I enjoyed it way more than any canoe trip I ever did that I'd planned 2 weeks beforehand that I was well prepared for, simply because I did it spontaneously.
Yeah.
Or another time when I was a similar thing, was actually the same friend. I see a re-emerging pattern now that I tell it.
That's a
he just called me one evening, was like, hey, yeah. He lived a bit outside the city, like 20 minutes away or so, by train. And he was just like, yeah, my parents have their friends over here in our village, and the daughter was also here, and now she said, oh yeah, they're going to the city festival in like the town over, which is from me then half an hour away by train, and asked me to come, and I said yes, but I was wondering whether you wanna come too. And I was like, yeah, when do you wanna go? And he said like, well, I know when the train leaves at yours, so if you run, you might still make it. So I just got up out of bed, put on like proper pants and ran to the train station and went to this city festival. I've been to city festivals. It wasn't anything special, but I just enjoyed it so much more. Mm. We ended up stranded in that city because we missed our last train, had to be picked up by friends of that person we didn't even really know. And just, I don't know, this whole story developed on an evening in which I expected to originally just stay in bed and, I don't know, watch a Netflix series or something. And suddenly I was there running through this city, wine bottle in hand, with my friend and some people who we barely know but with whom we got along great and who I never saw again either. And it's just, there's a certain joy in that spontaneity. Yeah, I don't know, I think they always say, I don't know, in German we have the word Vorfreude, which means pre-excitement, which is the excitement you feel when looking forward to something, right? But sometimes I feel like the lack of this Vorfreude, like this lack of being excited before it happens, makes it even better in retrospect.
Yeah, because then you're maybe more excited when it's happening than when it's planned.
Yeah, and then your expectations.
Yeah, a bit of that excitement is maybe more dispersed over the period of time when you're just waiting for it to happen. Because I think that many times I'm really excited for something, you know, for a week, but then the thing is so short, like a match, 60-minute match or anything like that, and then it's over, and I'm like, shit. And actually the pre-excitement was more exciting than the thing itself, because it just lasted longer. But here it's just pure excitement, like, oh wow, today in the morning I woke up, I didn't plan to do shit, and now I'm here in a festival in a different city. How crazy is that? And it just makes you so happy, so excited, like, oh wow. It's just the wow factor. The wow factor is just much higher than if something is planned.
Yeah, I imagine you don't form expectations beforehand of what it's going to be like, so it's much more connected to living in the moment, actually, when being spontaneous, because you just appreciate it for what it is, and then if you're suddenly stranded because you missed the last train, so be it. It's now part of the fun experience. You would not plan to miss the last train, but then you did, and it was fun. So
yeah. And if you have plans, the plans can go wrong. But if you're just doing whatever you think of in the moment, then it can't go wrong, because it's just like, I'll just try and I'll see.
Well, now that you mentioned spontaneous experiences and missed trains, I thought of us going to Utrecht, which I think was something that was quite spontaneous as well. Because, you know, Tim was just like, oh, let's go to a floorball match all together. And then we did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very fun. But I also think it taught me a lesson, which is that you can't plan spontaneity. So we planned to stay up all night, like pull an all-nighter, you know, go clubbing, and then come back to Livorno at like 6 a.m. And then the floorball match ends and we're all dead. And we just want to come back to Leeuwarden.
Yeah.
And then we were spontaneous. We failed to plan spontaneity, but we managed to be spontaneous in the end. So we planned to go to Utrecht and go to watch your floorball match, then stay up all night clubbing and go back to Leeuwarden. But what happened instead was a spontaneous movie night where we watched a horror movie in our house with the people who went to Utrecht.
Yeah.
And I think that's nice.
Yeah.
It was really like kind of a lesson to me that these things don't happen because you want them to. If you want to pull an all-nighter with your friends and go clubbing, like you all did in Brussels, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You didn't
plan that. Was so good.
You didn't plan that. It just happened. You were there and you were like, okay, if we can take the next bus in the morning and spend more time in Brussels, then let's do it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that very well. Like on being on the train, on the bus there and being like, oh yeah, sort of sad that we are gonna go back already tomorrow. Yeah, I wish we could just sort of stay. And then making the joke of, well, we could always just take the first train in the morning and we don't have to pay for a hostel. And then this silence where no one said anything, and you could just feel that we were both thinking the same thing of, actually, why not? So yeah, I think it just has to happen naturally. It always has to, I guess, fit the vibe then in a way, like the energy that people have.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at spontaneity and spontaneous experiences. And I think it also relates to something that I've been doing recently, which was preparing the leadership lab. I was talking about good habits. And when you're setting a good habit, there's like a cue and a craving, right? So something, like if, I don't know, if you see your phone, then you get a craving to be on TikTok or something. And I feel like whenever you plan a holiday, so whenever I'm, like my parents are like, okay, we're gonna go to Green Cape, for example, this summer, which my parents actually did, but they didn't take me, but anyways.
No, that's
so sad. It is quite sad. But I was in intro week, so I was having fun and getting drunk anyways.
Fair
but
enough.
Like the whole, sometimes you build this whole like image of a holiday in your mind and you're like really like excited for it. And then when you're actually there, you've built such an unrealistic picture that it's not the same. And if you're spontaneous, then you don't have expectations. So you'll always be pleasantly surprised.
Exactly.
But I mean, it also depends on like the view that you have towards like traveling, you know, because I don't know, maybe you can have a lot of expectations, but you go to a specific place and it surprises you like in many different ways. Because, for example, I'm always like bragging about the fact that, I don't know, Italy has such a crazy food, you know, and then you go to Italy and you say, oh yeah, food was actually good, but then I liked more this and that, you know, I liked more like the culture that I found, I liked more that specific museum or that specific moment, bro. Like, for example, when I went to Jamaica, the places that they saw were beautiful, but I'm sure that like somewhere else, like you can find beaches as beautiful as that one, but the environment that was created, you know, the environment, the people, you know, the vibe that I had was just like so much better than what I thought, you know, like being away from capitalism for a week or something. It was just like great.
It does make me curious though, if I can add on to that, because everyone sort of echoes what they've been saying. And even you, Flo, you spontaneously got a cat that mm-hmm. you nicknamed Shit Stain, but you still say it was a good spontaneous decision. Yeah. But then have you ever done anything spontaneous that was a bad decision?
That's a good question.
I think, because I was thinking for myself and I'm kind of struggling to find an example. And right now we have this very beautiful, if you don't have any expectations, you can only be positively surprised, mm-hmm. which I guess is true. But maybe there's also, you can do something spontaneously and then regret it afterwards. But I don't have an example myself, but I'd be curious to hear what you people think.
Well, for me, when I say spontaneity, I love it. But and the first thing that comes to my mind being drunk with my hometown friends, because it's a crazy bunch of people that I love spending time with, because it's just a lot of fun. And like the definition of spontaneity for me is like a night out with them or a cottage with them, because it's just, you know, you're drunk and you know that there are all these people with you, that crazy people, that if you say like, oh, should we do this, should we do that, they'll be up for it. So it's just like, oh, let's throw this guy in the pool. Oh, let's like let's take the disc out of the wheel of the car. Let's just throw it like a frisbee. And you're like, oh, hell yeah, man. And so oftentimes it's very fun. Like I'm really glad for making those decisions, because it's just so much fun. For example, one night we were in this pub in my hometown, and it eventually, unfortunately, they had to close it because it was too late. So then we were just walking around the city, you know, trying to find something to do. And then there was a truck going past us, and it was a truck with pastry. And one of the friends was like, oh yeah, this pastry is so good. Like when they have fresh rolls, it's delicious, best rolls I've ever eaten. And then, as Yufin said, it was just this moment of silence for me when I was just like, okay, let's try and get them. So I legit started running after the truck, and luckily it pulled up next to a shop very close to us. So then I just ran to the guy. He was unloading the crates with the fresh rolls, and I was like, mister, it was like 4 a.m. He was just loading, you know, fresh rolls for the day. Mister, I just heard that your fresh rolls are the best a friend has ever had in his life. Can I please try some? And he was an absolute legend of a guy, and he was like, yeah, sure, take some. And he gave me a whole crate to pick from. So I started taking like 1, 2, 3, and he was like, take more. And I was like, yeah, sure, is it okay? And he said that, oh, today our roll counter broke, so I don't know how many we actually have, so it's a lucky day, you just take as many as you want. So I was like, okay. So I just started taking more. In the end, I ended up with like 10 or 12 fresh rolls. I came back to my friends holding them in my both hands like, oh guys, look, I got that, we have fresh rolls. And they were like, oh yeah, you know, everyone drank. And then in 10 minutes they were all gone because they were so delicious. It was just this, yeah, I really like the moment of silence that you just acknowledged. It's always there, like, oh yeah, those were the most delicious rolls. 1, 2 seconds, nothing, and okay. And then Tim just starts running away and comes back with 12 rolls, and it was just so much fun. So usually these experiences are freaking amazing, but yeah, sometimes, you know, the spontaneity, and also at the cottage, you just, I don't know, start doing some shit, jumping on the bed, or then you break things and then you have to pay it to the landlord, or yeah, someone can get a bit hurt, like, but okay, now I'm getting into a little bit of a dilemma, because usually it's still fun. They, like, objectively it's a bad thing, you know, to destroy it, but then in the moment it's so much fun. Because, yeah, you're just doing bullshit and, oh, you break a chair. And then you're like, oh, lol, we broke a chair, what the hell? And everyone is just laughing. And then, I don't know, maybe the fun is worth the 15 euros that socialist chair costs. So,
yeah.
First, I wanted to say that, yes, there are bad spontaneous decisions. Now I'm not sure.
There are bad decisions, but none that you regret.
Yeah, that's a good way of formulating.
Tim, you've just unlocked so many bad experience of spontaneity from me by talking about your hometown and a bakery and breaking stuff. So firstly, relating to the bakery and a spontaneous experience that went wrong was during COVID. I was in my small hometown, like Tim, and then me and my two cousins decided to get drunk one night. So we bought like one of those like packs of wine, you know, like not wine that comes from the bottle, but that comes from like an aluminium.
You can, you just open it up. Understood.
It's really cheap, horrible.
Oh my god, bro.
And we, so we bought that, and then, bro, we started drinking, and like we went to their house. There was a balcony, so we start playing music in the speaker in their balcony, and we're drinking, and we like take our shirts off, and we're like waving our shirts around and dancing, and then all of a sudden, like the neighbor comes over, and they're like, "Guys, it's fucking 2 a.m. What are you doing? Can you turn the music down?" So we turn the music down. And we drink a few more glasses of wine and we get excited. So we turn it back up. And then the guy comes again and now he's visibly upset. So we stop the music and we leave the house with the speaker. So we go, now we're on the streets and we're drunk and we have a speaker. So we start like walking through the streets of my small town and we end up at this bakery, which is like has like a legendary status in my hometown. Because every time you come home from the club at like 5 a.m. or something or 4 a.m., they're also like loading in the fresh, fresh like baked bread. Mm-hmm. So the bread is like top notch, you know, it's warm, it's fluffy, and you're drunk, so it just tastes really good. And I've been there a few times, so the bakery happened to be closed at that time. Kept walking, went onto this roundabout, and we were like, I don't know, let's say 50 meters away from the bakery. So we could see the bakery. And then we were all drunk and we're playing music and we see this like traffic sign. That's a bit shaky, you know? Like it's not very well stabilized. And my cousin, he's a bit of a vandal. So he starts shaking it a little bit. And then we were like, we all got excited. And then my other cousin starts shaking it a little bit. And then I join him, and at this point, we're like shaking the traffic sign back and forth, back and forth. And then the traffic sign just falls on top of the both of us. So it fell on me and my leg, and I fell on my cousin. And we were like, the two of us were on the ground. And we like shake it off, you know, we push the traffic sign away, sorry. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we stand up, we hear the baker screaming, seeing like, oh, I saw that. And then we come over and we start talking to him, and he was like, you know, I saw what you guys did, I'm gonna call the police. And we were a little bit intoxicated, so my cousin just started being like, I don't know what you're talking about. No, I have no idea what accusations you're trying to make here. And I tried to diffuse the situation, so I was like, oh yeah, I'm really sorry, you know, it was an accident. We'll put it back, even though there was no chance we could put it back. And then the guy was just like, you guys are vandals, never show up in this bakery again. And I've never been there since.
Yeah. That's tragic.
Yeah, it was sad. Because it was my favorite bakery of the time.
Oh, no. But it's just a traffic sign, bro.
Yeah, no, it's
I am plugged traffic deal. Signs and brought them as a trophy home.
I've done that way too often.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Multiple times. One time I went inside a roundabout and there were like some, I don't know, probably there was like a music festival or something. And you know the symbol of like musical notes? And they were like, like wooden musical notes inside the roundabout. And with all my friends, we just plugged them out one by one. And we then redistributed them like in the various houses of the people that I knew in the place.
Yeah. So yeah, I think spontaneous experiences can go wrong.
With the breaking stuff, I came up with a concrete example, because when we were once in the very pub that we left in my previous story, we were playing foosball, and this foosball table, it had a glass panel on top, and we were playing, and my team was losing quite bad, but then we started making a comeback, and at some point we recovered from like being 2-8 down, to being 9-8 up. And when I scored the 9th goal, the opponent, a very good friend from my hometown, an absolute legend as well, he just got so mad that he headbutted the foosball table just like in a split second, obviously a very spontaneous and bad decision, objectively bad. And when he did it, we looked at the table and there was a massive crack in the glass panel. So the guy just broke the glass roof of the football table and we were like, bro, what the fuck? And he was perfectly okay. We were like, bro, how come you, nothing happened to you? And he's like, oh, what the fuck are these tables? I thought this was like plexiglass, you know? Like, what the hell is this? I didn't feel anything. And we looked at his forehead. It was completely fine. We're like, bro, what the fuck? We need to get the fuck out. Like, they can't find out. So then we just grabbed the shots that we bought before and we just left. So we couldn't finish the game. And then the next day, the next evening, we of course came back to the pub because, well, what else would we do? And luckily they didn't find out. Like, they were asking us, like, oh guys, tomorrow, I mean yesterday evening when the football table was broken, were you before that or after that? And the friend who broke it, he was like, yeah, you know, I don't remember, I was super wasted, I really can't comprehend, yeah, just give me some time to think. And then the waiter was like, okay, I'll give you time to think, but then think about what you're gonna tell me. Then the waiter left, and then we were playing the football table again, and every time the waiter was like going around us to get some drinks or whatever, my friend pretended to be telling us, you know, very very loudly so the waiter could hear, like, oh yeah, it couldn't have been me, like I only did it, I was here for like 5 minutes and then I left, couldn't have been me. And so until now they don't know, hopefully they don't listen to this. But still, objectively very bad decision, but it was so much fun, and you know, in the end, you know, there weren't bad consequences, so yeah. His forehead is okay, it's a source of many jokes, so.
Well, thankfully, we're not the number one podcast in Slovakia.
Yet.
Oh, nice.
But well, since we're outing ourselves, Flor, is there anything stupid that you want to admit
that you've done? I have kind of a scary story. Like, when I first got my license, it's like, okay, so we get it at 16, right? And it's all like super cool. We just drive around all day. Like my best friend at the time, I'd call her. She's also spontaneous. I call her. We're like, what are we gonna do right now? Oh, quick flex. Like, oh, we'll go to the beach. You know, go on a hike. But then it was like one night, and then we were like, oh, let's just go drive like up this mountain that was like pretty close to my house. And this mountain is like, it's very curvy the whole way up and down. And at one point you like lose reception. So I'm like driving up with my friend and then we pull over just so I can, I don't know, like do something on my phone, text my mom or something. And then my friend's in the passenger seat and it's like all forest mountain. So there's like houses occasionally, but you know, not like very dispersed. So then we pull over where there's nothing but forest. And then she's like, oh, Flor, like look. And I look up and this man like comes out of nowhere, out of the bushes. And he starts walking towards us. We're like, oh, fuck, you know? And then he's, like, in front of my car. So I'm trying to go left around him, go right. And he's, like, standing right in front of my car, like, not letting me get around him. And then I see him, like, start coming over, like, try to come to my door. So I reverse. But I'm so scared. So I slam it closed. And we're, like, pretty high up. So there's a cliff right there. So, like, you know, floor going backwards, can't even see, it's dark. and then there was like a hill, like a mound of whatever, dirt and grass, I don't know, which my car got stuck on. And like if it hadn't gotten stuck, you know, we would have died. Like we would have flown off the cliff and died. And then the man saw that I was stuck. So he like tried to put it back in drive. I'm like trying to go again. And then it's like making all these sounds like, you know, it can't catch onto the road, whatever. So he can tell that I'm stuck. Nobody's around. It's just me and my friend. Two girls were freaking the fuck out. Then he comes over and he looks very like forest man, like what you would expect someone living in the forest to look like. And he comes over. But luckily I see a car coming down the hill. So I jump out and like run right in front of him, like waving my arms to get this car to pull over. Thank God the car pulls over, and as soon as the man sees that he's like the truck's pulling over, he runs back into the bushes, and then, you know, like I don't know what would have happened otherwise. Then the guy with the truck tries to pull my car off the thing, but it's just so stuck on there. So we just left it, got in the car with this random guy, but he seemed nice. He was telling us about his kids, so I was like, you know, he must be nice, yeah. And then he drove us home, and the next day we had to, like, get a tow truck and get it all fixed, but it was very scary.
That is terrifying.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That is like a confirmed Bigfoot sighting.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
How could anybody now follow up on this story? Bloody hell.
And the man didn't say anything, the forest man.
Mm-mm. And then we just never saw him again.
Whole time.
He's just, yeah. I mean, I couldn't really see his expression or anything either. It's, you know, there's no, like, lights up there. It's just pitch black.
Oh.
Just the light from my car. Oh, so I could see, like, so I could see, oh, there's a man coming. But fuck. So, and I'm already so scared of men. And she is too, like my friend. So this just cemented that.
Now you're in a room with four men.
I'm really scared.
But shit, it's like a horror, that's a horror story.
It was really, really scary.
You know, reversing, then getting stuck.
Oh my god, yeah.
And then you're flooring.
Huh?
Accelerating the pedal. And then the man is just approaching this. I can picture
so
it in
scary.
A horror story.
So scary. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I promised good stories and you delivered.
What can I say?
It's going to be hard to top that. Wow. Damn, Floor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, going back to what Tim said. Tim, do you think that as a student, most of your spontaneous experiences, and that's for the rest of you as well, involve alcohol?
Yes, quite a lot of them. Quite a lot of them. But I would say when I'm sober, I also make spontaneous decisions, but they are more, let's say, exciting, spontaneous.
Or like, less stupid as well.
Yeah, less stupid, more like connected to some achievement or some sports feat, like, oh yeah, let's just try to climb this, or oh yeah, let's just try to get up on this hill with a bike and then bike it down, you know, some crazy drop. More of like that stuff, more sporty stuff. And then when I'm crazy, it's just like, when I'm drunk, it's more like crazy, stupid, fun shit. Like, oh, let's just try to get some rolls. Let's just throw this guy in the pool, or let's just do this or that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's both spontaneous, but it's just a different kind, I would say.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting. I also have, like, well, when we went on the ski trip last year, I had two spontaneous experiences, one with alcohol and one without. And they were also very different, and I think it's similar to what you said.
Mm-hmm.
So my spontaneous decision without alcohol was, at one point we went to a side of the mountain that we hadn't been to yet while we were skiing around. And I think this was the fourth day maybe, so we'd seen most of the mountain. And we found like a ski park where you can do like ramps and tricks and stuff. And it was my first time ever in a ski park, so I got very excited. And I went through it the first time. Didn't do anything impressive. I was just like getting used to it. And the second time around, I came and I got like really brave all of a sudden. I was feeling very confident. So I went and tried the like one of the hardest jumps right away, which was this very like high. It was like sort of a cylinder, let's say, with angled slopes on each side. And you would like climb up, you would just be skiing and you would like jump on one side of the cylinder and supposedly land on the other side and like ski down the slope. But when I went with too much speed. So instead of landing on the second slope, I just basically flew into the air and landed like with my ass on just like snow, you know, just like flat snow. And holy crap, it was painful. I think it's the closest I've ever gotten to a concussion. Because I had a helmet on, and as I felt myself jump through the air, like my back was to the snow, and then I hit the ground really hard, and my head like slammed on the ground, and I felt it slam really hard. Like I felt a bit dizzy as well right after it happened. So if I didn't have a helmet, probably would have been really horrible. And then I basically like twisted my leg and wasn't able to ski for the rest of the week. Had to sell my ski pass for 3 days.
Oh, shit.
So hopefully that doesn't happen this year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but this year we're going on the ski trip again and I'm going to conquer the ski park with no injuries. However, my drunk spontaneous experience was something entirely else. So I was, I think I was a bit tipsy, and it also involved Leonard and Alessio. So we were all in our, like, apartment in the mountains, and we were sleeping in an apartment with six people, and the apartment was like for three people, so it was all very like crammed. And we all had to use one toilet together. So at one point, I think it was Alessio who was in the toilet, and he was using the sink, you know, like washing his face and stuff. We were about to go out. We'd preed and we were about to go out to get more drinks, some apres-ski. And Leonard thought it would be a funny idea to close the door on Alessio and just like lock him inside, you know? And Alessio sort of like, he caught onto this. So he put a shoe on the door so that the door wouldn't be able to close, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this and I thought it would be a funny joke for me to join the whole situation. So Leonard and I came up with a plan, and the plan was very simple. I kicked the shoe, Leonard closed the door, and Alessio was left inside. And this seemed to upset Alessio quite a lot, because he started banging on the door and screaming like, let me out, which is understandable, but sort of jumped the gun. So then he started trying to open the door, and he was like pushing against it, and Leonard and I were holding it. And he started like, you know, freaking just completely like shouldering the door, you know, throwing himself against it. And after a few hits onto the door, Leonard and I just find ourselves holding the door after it's come fully off the hinges. And we told the rest of our roommates, who were a lot older and more mature than us, they were very disappointed. And then we were sort of in a predicament, because we had given like the, you know, like the
deposit.
We've given a deposit to the like housing association that was hosting us for students. And we wanted our damn deposit back, because that was like 100 euros or something.
Mm.
So we had to basically fix it up on the spot, and we managed to make it work. It was, the door was usable for the rest of the week, but you would have to sort of like lift it at the handle. Otherwise, the like the bottom tip of the door would drag across the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And it left like a red semicircle on the ground. But the door was working, so we got away with it. I got my deposit back, and I got a very funny, spontaneous experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you think, because I get this whole like when drunk you have like then these little things, so you do things and then they create fond memories, but maybe, I mean, you touched again with the cat, for example, that's something that was a spontaneous decision that had a bit more longevity, in that it had like consequences for longer, because like this is now a funny story, but like at worst you would have lost the deposit, which kind of sucks, but it doesn't, you know, influence the rest of your life or anyway. Mm-hmm. Or I also have these stories of, you know, you're drunk, I don't know, you, we once they were dismantling like a construction site because they'd finished building, and it was the birthday of my friend, and my, again, the same friend, okay, I, the pattern is recurring, and I found it extremely hilarious to like take one of those big ass no entry signs that they have, like that say, please don't drive in from here, because they didn't need anymore. They dismantled and basically just left all the construction work on the side. We took it and we carried it into the garden of one of our friends' neighbors and put it like right in front of their back door so that they'd open it and would be like, stop. And we found that hilarious, of course. But like these things, they don't matter really in the grand scheme of things. Like we did that and it was funny story. The neighbor next morning was like, what the fuck, people? Why is there a traffic sign in my backyard? But I'm wondering more if there are like decisions like you getting a cat then meant you spontaneously decided to get a cat, and then you had a cat for several years, I take it, or however long you had that cat. But it wasn't, it became more than just a memory. Mm-hmm. In a way, whether there are stories like that, actually spontaneous decisions that still affected
impact you nowadays.
Yes, exactly. That are still sort of like staying. Because I remember, for me personally, that's also why I'm bringing it up, thinking about, okay, what's more than just funny drunk stories? I'm in a longer than three-year relationship, right? And I remember that we were dancing partners at the time. Well, we weren't even dancing partners, but we were in the same dancing class. We were talking, and my girlfriend used to do theater then. She sort of told the people, oh, yeah, I'm having a show then, you know, and I'm super excited for it, whatnot. da da da, yeah, yeah, no, if you want, you can come. But she just sort of told that everyone because she was just happy. And I remember then that I had it in the back of my mind, but I hadn't really thought about it. At some point then I was like, oh, right, the theater showing is today, it's this evening. I think I should go, just because I think it's nice. I think she'll be happy about it. We were friends at that time. But then going there, I felt like maybe that was, looking back now, I mean, the meaning didn't the occur beginning. To me then, but maybe then that's the starting point from mm-hmm. when our relationship also started to change. I mean, it still took more than a year from that point that we got together. But this is now something, I guess, would we have gotten together had I not gone that day? Maybe, maybe not, I don't know. But it certainly was a decision that I took spontaneously that now I still feel has, especially looking back, a lot of meaning in the life I'm living now, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering whether maybe...
I think I have one. Like, for me, the thing was like, you know, I played baseball and... yeah, I mean, during trainings, it was always like a bit serious, you know, warming up, doing your arm stuff and blah, blah, blah. But then outside of, I don't know, training, I would play handball or some sort of dodgeball, you know. And obviously, like if you play baseball, bro, you try to try hard, you know, like whenever you have the ball in your hands, you just throw it as faster as you can. And I just realized that every time I was doing it, I wasn't thinking about it, you know, just playing at the best of your possibilities. And first times, you know, I was going great, MVP of the game, blah, blah, blah. Everyone was getting hit by my balls. But the more I was doing... yeah, it sounded bad. So, you know, the more I was doing it, the more, like, pain I started feeling here, you know, like, to my right shoulder. And I was like, well, I don't know, maybe it's not a good idea, you know, I should warm up a little bit and blah, blah, blah. But I never actually committed to that. And right now... I have like not constant pain, but I have like troubles in like doing like I don't know, some sort of movements with my shoulder. Sometimes it just comes out of nowhere, and yeah, that's my spontaneous decision of trying hard and playing like dodgeball at the best of my possibilities. Maybe wasn't a good idea for my long-term health, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I started laughing when you were saying it, not to be disrespectful to your injury, which I think is really shit, and I'm sorry that you have to have an injury. I can empathize as a sports person, but I laughed because I just remembered a funny story with your dislocating shoulder when we were playing beach football at this at this pool in Levar. Then it was me, Vasco, Alessio and Luca, and I was playing with Luca, and at some point, this was after he had dislocated his shoulder two times, first when we were on this trampoline at the pool and then during something else, and then we were playing this beach football, and so at some point Luca got the ball and he was just alone in front of the goal, Vasco and Alessio playing against us, were just far away, so he felt really comfortable, you know, about to score an easy goal, so he wanted to do this little like show-offy disrespectful thing where you get down on your knees and you header the ball even though it's just there on the ground. So he got on his four, he headed the ball inside the goal, and while doing that he dislocated his shoulder.
Yeah,
that's
there was
instant karma.
Vasco was like, oh, this is karma, you know. But we ended up winning the game, so.
That's true.
We ended up winning the game and they showed some skills, you know, some samba skills.
Three times in one day, bro.
Yeah, but yeah. Since then
that's
it didn't happen. Since then it didn't happen anymore.
Hopefully it stays that way.
Yeah, let's hope.
But to your question, Finn, well, this is not really such an impactful, spontaneous decision in the meaning that it didn't determine my partner for the next years, but it determined what a lot of people will wear occasionally. So what happened, if you know what I'm talking about, and you guys should as well. So what happened is that in Slovakia, there's this guy who has an Instagram shop making really cool t-shirts with funny slogans. In Slovak, also in English, like Send Nude or Borovička, which is the national Slovak alcohol. And so that's one piece of information. Second, unrelated, is that with my hometown friends, we were watching these funny videos, and there was this saying, a slangy way of saying, eat my dick in Slovak, zet mi kar. And so on some spontaneous day, I just thought like, oh, it would be really cool to have this funny saying on the t-shirt that the guy is making, because the t-shirts are super nice and it would fit, you know, he makes funny slogans in Slovak that should be okay. So I just randomly texted the guy like, hi, I have two of your t-shirts, I really like them, you know, little idea from a fan for a new t-shirt, zet mi kar, and then I sent him the funny videos and he was like, yeah, I'll write it down and we will see. And then during one of the nights out, I mentioned it to my hometown friends. They were like, oh, that's a really good idea, we'll text him as well. So they texted him as well individually, so he got like 4, 5, or 6 texts all saying like, oh yeah bro, good, I have an idea, zet mi kar on a t-shirt. And to all of them he replied, yeah, I have it written down, don't worry guys. And then time passed, half a month passed, I came here for school, and then one day on his Instagram he dropped zet mi kar t-shirts, fucking black, white, purple zet mi kar t-shirts and hoodies on his e-shop. And I was so happy, I was like, holy shit, it actually worked, he actually did it, what a legend. So instantly with the hometown friends we started texting, and you know, at first being all funny like, oh yeah, well now when we go to the New Year's cottage, for you to enter you have to have this t-shirt, that's like your ticket for entry, all of us need to get one. But then we were like, okay guys, so actually who wants one? And then we started saying like, yeah, me. Then it turned out almost everyone from the fan group wanted one, which was like 20 t-shirts. We're like, oh shit, that's quite good. And then, like, can we get a bit more? And so the guy who broke the foosball table in the previous story, he started asking more people and more friends and friends of friends. And I don't know who he asked, like the whole fucking family in India that he has or whatever, because it was suddenly so many people. It was like 30, then 35, then 40, and then we're like, holy shit, like, can we get to 50? And that would be so fun, because originally when we texted the guy with the t-shirt, one of the friends, this friend, he texted him, yeah, you should do this zet mi kar t-shirt, if you do it we'll buy 20 of them, ha ha ha. And then when he actually dropped the zet mi kar t-shirt, he texted back like, oh yeah, haha, now I'm waiting for the order of 20 t-shirts. And now we actually had 40 people on board, so we were like, oh shit, this guy is gonna be so surprised. And then conclusion of the story, we ordered 52 t-shirts saying eat my dick in Slovak, and Vasco is getting one, Luka is getting one, Finn is getting one, Esme, Emilia are getting one. So our whole podcast plus our whole house plus my whole friend group in GR all wearing Zet mi kar t-shirts.
I want one too.
Amazing. Let's get to 100. Easy.
Bro, to 100.
For all the podcast listeners.
Bro, to 100.
I think that really encapsulates the message of today's podcast, which is that you should always keep an open mind, because most of the times the things that you can't predict can always bring the most happiness. So yeah, I really like that you wrote that also in like your little script, Floor. You were like, oh yeah, I think that spontaneity is a mindset. So like always being open to doing new things. I think that's also important to being happy in general, which is it like really deep all of a sudden. But I think that of course there has to be a balance, but I find myself often to be very happy and like pleasantly surprised when something that I'm not expecting happens. And then you're just like very present and in the moment, and it can bring you so much enjoyment.
Yeah, I mean, to add to that, like, I like that at the end of the podcast we always try to find some closure, because we put something fun in it and then we just give our own opinion. And the thing that I wanted to say is that, yeah, like, I have my routine, you know, during the day, like, I have stuff that I have to do. Like, when I wake up at 8:45, if I don't do exactly as I said the previous morning or exactly as I always do, I just lose my shit. But then there is like the span of hours during the day after I'll just like set myself up where I'm really open for everything that happens, you know. I'm just really, oh, it depends how I feel. I'm gonna work, or I'm gonna do this, or I'm gonna do a walk. I'm gonna go and spend some time in nature. And I mean, I believe that that's kind of like me understanding how being spontaneous also allows you to understand like what makes you happy in life and what can help you out growing as a person, you know, and how to become like an actual citizen, you know, like an actual person that doesn't have to relate to anyone else, you know, because when your parents are with you, like your parents are the one that are settling the time of stuff that you do. Like since I moved and lived alone, I had like the freedom of decide what to do. And I had a lot more space for being spontaneous. And that's what really motivated in me in saying, okay, let's enjoy this particular moment or let's enjoy that one because it's my choice. It's me putting the effort of being there in that time, you know? Mm-hmm. No one forces me to go to the grocery shopping if I don't want to. No one forces me to go to the market if I don't want to. And so it allows me to be spontaneous and it allows me to enjoy actually what I'm doing. And I think it's really like really important and it's a good message to the people that are listening that we can possibly give, you know, just find your routine, but that's at the same time, like leave something for like yourself, you know, something that makes you happy and really makes you accomplish something. Because accomplish something, it's not only writing your paper, but it's also like having a good conversation with your friend that it didn't plan or telling like some fun stories to someone, because that's what really enriches your life and not your A plus in the grade, because in the end it's a number and then after 2 weeks no one gives a shit about that, while a good conversation with your friend it's something else.
I think that's a very valuable point, Luca. I'm gonna make it my life motto to be spontaneous from now on.
I also feel like every person or relationship that you encounter or experience can like teach you something. And if you go into it thinking it's going to be shit, then yeah, it is going to be shit. But if you go into it with an open mind and you like let it be good, then it probably will be good. Or at least you'll learn something.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really fucking valuable as well.
Yeah.
Because like I was talking to Tim about this the other day, actually. I feel like there's so many freaking people in the that I've met who just think they know everything, and you never know everything. So if you close yourself off to like, you know, self-improvement and just like learning from the people around you, then you're never going to develop into a bigger and better person. And I feel like there's always room for improvement. Of course, you should accept who you are, but I think that most people who I consider to be valuable in my life have at least taught me a life lesson or have at least impacted me in some way. So like, you know, talking to strangers or like taking like one small choice can lead to a whole set of repercussions. And I feel like the story with your cat or our stories of how we did these activities or how you can have one conversation with a random person and then it can lead to like a really fun experience.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So,
but yeah, I mean, even Socrates said, "I know that I don't know," you know? He was probably, no, that's true, bro. Like he was probably one of the most...
All like, I know is that I
yes,
don't know much. I know the quote in Portuguese.
Same in Italian. I don't know the exact translation, but
why don't
like,
you say it? I don't think you've ever spoken Italian in the podcast.
So di non sapere.
Oh,
like,
beautiful.
And guys, like they think it's like crazy that like someone that had like that type of knowledge, like still right now, like 3,000 years later, were like reading actively to like, I mean, he didn't wrote anything, but like from his speech and stuff that people commented about what he said, and he acknowledged the fact that he couldn't know anything because that's simply impossible. And another thing that like my grandma always tells me is like, even the person that is 100 years old every day can possibly learn something. So, I mean, inside here, I'm the youngest, I'm 19, but overall, like everyone is like in their 20s, let's say. And it's so crazy to see like how many things we can still learn and how many things we can possibly do. So let's jump, let's be spontaneous and just go in everything that we're doing with the mindset that we don't know, you know, like also we're studying because we don't know, you know, and every time, like even if it's like just one piece of knowledge that you get from a class because maybe it was boring, it's still something that can help you in, I don't know, just have a chance of having a conversation with someone you might not know. Like you get out of one class and you say, oh, I mean, I like that specific point. And then you start a conversation out of that. And I think that like every little input, if taken in the good consideration and being spontaneous, can be something good that can trigger some some things that are good, and also the message that they want to give. It's not only, oh yeah, we're having fun and being spontaneous only when we're drunk, because that's not the point. That's part of it, because we're students and obviously we like getting drunk and that's fun, and I encourage people to do so, like with moderation, but I encourage people because it's an experience like anything else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the thing. We have fun in those situations, but also we're spontaneous,
yeah,
because we believe that it's important and it can let us grow.
And there are different kinds of spontaneity. And I think that spontaneity comes from a mindset. And that's something that I also really like about our course. I feel like all of us are very open-minded and open to learn and very spontaneous as well. Like, Canal was super spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
We were always doing random shit all the time. And I had so many positive experiences and memories to look back on from the time that we spent there together.
Mm, true.
So, yeah, I think that brings it to a close. Floor, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
We really enjoyed having you on and listening to all your stories.
I've got many more, so
I can't wait
anytime.
To hear them.
Good.
And yeah, thank you for tuning in to our audience, and we'll see you next month.